Okay, we start here at the bottom of Pei Zayin Amud Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says for us, Sheva Midot Shelach Hayu B'Migdash. They had a Besorah that there were seven utensils that were used for liquid measurements in the Migdash. And here's the layout of them, just as a little background. One thing you might want to know is that a hin, which is going to be used here, is 12 log. So all the measurements are going to be between a log and a hin. And we know, for instance, the nisachim that are brought with the animals, they come from chatziah hin, which would be 6 log. They come from shlishita hin, which would be 4 log. And reviyata hin, which would be 3 log. So you're going to have the measurements that are listed here are going to be either in the span of the hin, which is 12 log again, or within the log itself. So to just give you a perspective on all the measurements I'm going to mention. So here we have, well, number 1 is the hin, number 2 is the chatziah hin, number 3 is the shlishita hin, number 4 is the reviyata hin, 5 is the log. Then you have 6 is the chatzi log, and 7 is the reviyata log. So those are the 7 measurements they had. Rabbi Rabbi Tzadok Amar, Shnotot Ayu Behin. So he has this idea, you can see the picture on the left in Rashi, that was the equivalent of a measuring cup. That there was a single utensil that had markings in it. If you take a hin, until here is half a hin, until here is a quarter of a hin, here's a third of a hin. Each one of those was marked in a single utensil. Adkan the par, which would be 6 log, half a hin. Adkan the ayo, adkan the kevis. Ayo would be lishita hin, which is 4 log. And a kevis would be a reviyata hin, which is 3 log. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo yesham hin. There's no reason to have a hin in the Mikdash, because it serves no purpose. There's no necessity for a hin in the Mikdash. It was only used once, because the hin was used during the time of Moshe, to be Moshech the Klei HaMikdash. That's when it was used, but otherwise they don't need it. V'chiyayam hin mishamesh, because there's no utility for the hin inside of the Mikdash. He adds on an additional measure, which was 1.5 log, which wasn't in the list that we had, but a 1.5 log measure, and which would be, if you do it over a hin, that would be an eighth of a hin. So if you remember, the Minchat Chavitin has 3 log shemen in it, but the Minchat Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol is brought twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. So if it came with 3 log shemen, and we learned that in the previous prakim, about the fact that it has to have ribui shemen, more than the normal amount of shemen, so it comes with 3 log shemen to the Isaron, but then it has to be split in half, because machatzita b'boker, machatzita b'erev. So if I take 3 log shemen, split in half, I need 1.5. So that was the necessity for this 1.5 log. Tarabanan. So now we have a braita that basically repeats the Mishnah, but adds in one more daya. So tarabanan. Sheva midot shelach hayu b'migdash. 7 liquid measurements in the migdash. Reviyata log, chatziah log, v'log, reviyata hin, shlishita hin, v'chatziah hin, v'hin. It's exactly the same as our Tanakama, just in reverse order. He's going from the lowest measurement to the highest measurement. The highest measurement, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says it, but in the same way that our Mishnah is laid out, which is hin, v'chatziah hin, shlishita hin, reviyata hin, log, chatzi log, reviyata log. So they have the exact same list. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir have the exact same list. Just Rabbi Meir starts from the highest and moves down, similar to our Mishnah, and he would be the Tanakama of our Mishnah. Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda with the same list, but starting from the smallest measurement, moving to the highest measurement. The Gemara is going to ask Ma'ika ben now, right? So Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now Rabbi Shimon's opinion, which we saw in the Mishnah as well, is Lo Yesham Hin. Hin Mishamish. There was no purpose for the hin. It had a one-time use in history, and that had passed already. So Mi'avi Tachtav. So who do I replace it with? Ela Amidai Yitera Shalog Mechzai Tasham. There's this 1.5 log there. Vayamoded Chavito Kohen Gadol Log Mechza Vavoker Log Mechza Ben Arabayim. Exactly like we have in our Mishnah. Now we have a response. The Rabbanan asks Rabbi Shimon, why do you need the 1.5 log? Why do you need 1.5 log? You have a chatzi log. Chatzi log times 3 is 1.5 log. Why do I need a separate measure called the 1.5 log? I can make it up from putting these 3 mechzot together and I'll get the same thing. So that would take care of the issue. Chatzi log haitasham. And you could do the measurement of 1.5 through a half log. So according to you, why do you need a chatzi log v'log? Why do you need a chatzi log or a log in the mikdash? Reviyat haitasham. You have a reviyat log. So if you want to do that, you can always add up. You take the smallest measure, and then you can just multiply it and get to where you want. So, Efshad the Sheir B'Yavit, Zeklau, Hayab B'Migdash, Kli Shemeshemesh Midah Zu, Inna Meshemesh Midah Acheret. That any measurement in the Migdash that had a utility, it cannot be used for something else. It's a single-use measurement, it's not a multiple-use measurement. If the Revit Alog is used for Revit Alog, it can't be used to build to another measurement. If that's the case, so he's going to say the same. When it comes to the 1.5 log, why should it be that you add it up through the half log? So was asked on the top, he said the top left, Rabbanan Tzavre, the Velo Domi, that they're not the same. The midah shelo gumechza lo tzricha ela chavitin. Aval chatzi lo tzrich lemilei tuva. That's the salt, the toldol menorah. We're going to see in a second that it's used for multiple items. So they said, okay, listen. If it's the principle that you're laying out is that we have single utility. That if there's measurements used for something, then we don't use it for something else. That's true. If we have a measurement that's used for multiple reasons, meaning that there's something that we can use over and over again. When you have a 1.5 log, it's used for one thing in the mikdash, and all that says half the chavitin. That's not worth making a separate measure just for that item. That doesn't make sense. They said it has to do with the quantitative use of the liquid measurement. You can't just say, make a measurement because we need it. That's because we need it, and we need it for more than one thing. If not, we're going to say use the other measurement to add up to that number. It's true, it's used twice a day, not even just every day, twice a day. But they said it's out the only use, and therefore they didn't want to have it. Now we have Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. He said that Shnatot Ayu Behin, and we're going to get to later on in the Gemara is going to ask about Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok. We have two Mesorah. One Mesorah is that they're Sheva Mido Belach. What happens to that according to Rabbi Elazar Tzadok? And also, what happens to this Klal that we just said? The Kli B'Mikdash, Mishmesh Midazu, and Mishmesh Midah Acheret. On that, Rashi says, Rabbi Elazar Tzadok lately is that Klal. He doesn't have this Klal. But what does he do with the Mesorah of Sheva Mido Lach? That the Gemara answer just a little further down. Now the Gemara asks the question, David, that you wanted to know. Ma'ika Meinayu. Ba'ika Ben Rabbi Meir the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda have the exact same measurements. Just one enumerates from the smallest to the highest. The other one goes from highest to lowest. What's the difference between them? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Beirutze Midot Ika Meinayu. Beirutze Midot is the difference between them. Now Beirutze Midot, with solids, it would be the heap on top. With liquids, generally we talk about the surface tension that holds the liquid above the rim of the measure, and that would be the extra called Beirutze Midot. Rashi over here gives another explanation, which says even the liquids that overflow to the sides, even those liquids that overflow to the sides, even though they're sitting on the sides, when you pour it out, they'll fall down into the other midah. Now that seems a little bit stretched, because eventually they'll just drip down to the ground. They won't stay on the sides. So I still think it's probably the surface tension is the easiest way to explain it. Now they're going to explain the two opinions. The madam, armi mata lo malo, the one who says we're going from the lowest measure to the highest measure, because everywhere reads it, midot nitkachu. They were nitkadesh. Why? Because Revi'it Ha'ivla Rachman of the Moshe. Moshe got one measurement from Hashem, which was the Revi'it Ha'log. And from that, he had to build all the other measurements. From Alei, sure, go ahead and build the other measures from that. Deka'ayle lehu Beirutzin. So therefore, the Beirutzin would pile up. So if I take a Revi'it Ha'log, and I have to make a Chatzi log, what am I going to do? I'm take the Revi'it Ha'log, I dump into a Kli. Take the Revi'it Ha'log again, and I dump into a Kli. Together, they will make a chatzi log, and that's how we will create the chatzi log. When I take the revita log, it has the extra over the rim, the surface tension, or according to Rashi, the stuff on the side. When I turn it over totally into the new kli, all of that goes into the new kli, because I can do it quickly. The surface tension will stay there if you pour quickly. If you pour it slowly, it slides out to the side, it'll spill on the ground, because it has nothing holding it in. So over here, when I'm going from small to big, as I build it up, I can dump the entire contents of this utensil into the next one, because I'm going from the smallest to the biggest. So when he takes the Revi'it Ha'log and pours it in and creates a Chatzi Log, he's going to create a Chatzi Log that can incorporate the surface tension of two Revi'it Ha'log. And the same thing going up. Chatzi Log to a Log, he's going to include the extra surface tension to get to the Log. So everything along the way included these Beirutze Midot. Until you get to the highest measure, which would be the Hin. The Hin would actually be bigger than 12 Log. It'd be 12 Log, including all the surface tension on top of them. That's what they measure. So the one that says you're going down in time, because of Beirutze Midot, lo nitkachu. Says the Beirutze Midot were not Mikadesh. Why? Because he was given the Hin, Yaiblei Rachman of the Moshe. Moshe was only granted the Hin, which is the largest measure. So now he says, use the Hin to create everything else. Create a Chatzi Hin, Revi'it Hin. All the measurements were made off of this Hin. You have a Hin, now break it up into two cups that are below. Now when you do that, right, because if you're taking a large quantity and you're pouring it into two smaller cups, you have to do it at a slower rate. You can't just dump the whole cup in there. You have to dump it at a slower rate. If that's the case, whatever's on the surface tension will slide off or fall on the ground before you get it into the cup. Because of that, the Beirutze Midot were not in Kachu. That's Rabbi Yochanan's suggestion about the Nafka Mina between them. And I said, Baha, the Kanafka Beirutze, because then the Beirutze will fall out as you pour it. Abaye Amar, Abaye argues on Rabbi Yochanan, the Chulei Amay Beirutze Midot Ika, the Meimer Nitkachu, Ika, the Meimer Lo Nitkachu. It doesn't matter. That's definitely not the difference between them. They could say yes, they could say no. Vahocha, Bimleim, Kamiflege. They're arguing about the issue of Mleim. So Mandamar, what does it mean, Mleim? Mandamar, Mimalo Lamato. The one who says they went from the highest to the lowest. Kazavar Mleim, Shlo Yachsar, Shlo Yotir. But you cannot add on and you cannot detract from the measurement. So if you start from the largest measurement and you're breaking it down into smaller measurements, then you have the exact measurement in hand. You have the exact measurement you need. You're going to pour into two smaller cups at a slow rate. You pour it in at a slow rate, you can get to the exact amount of the two smaller quantities. Mandamar, Mimata Lamato. The one who says that you start with the smallest measurement, Mleim Shlo Yachsar, clearly you cannot have less than what is contained within the smaller quantity of a Yotir that you could have. So Mleim Ekrin and Bekim Mleim. What is this Mleim? So Rashi claims over here that if I take two quarter loaves and I pour into a chatzi loaf, there's no way that there's not a little extra in there. Two quantities of a quarter loaf, when you pour them quickly into a chatzi loaf, there's always a mashuhu more. And then Rashi in the Ketiv Yad says it's because of Ofia. Ofia, he doesn't translate or say what the word is, but it's the foam or the head that comes up when you pour something quickly. That would mean that Mleim means that it has that extra of the foam that is created by pouring very quickly from the quarter log into the chatzi log. Because of the speed at which you do it, because you're pouring the entire quantity into the other one, that creates a slight head or foam on top of it, of that liquid, and that's the extra Mleim. So that's what Rashi Niktiv Yad, that might be what Rashi is saying in the other. Rashi just doesn't mention that the Ofia just says that when you have two smaller quantities, they always add up to a drop more. So that little head or that little foam that's on top, that'll be the extra you get from going from the lowest to the highest midot. Versus coming downward, if you go from the highest to the lowest, you're pouring slowly, you won't create the foam, you won't create that head on top of the liquid.
Does oil actually have such a thing as this head? Oil is
very viscous. Yes, I don't know if you have to use it, but it could be used water to test it. I don't know what they used as a liquid to test the shape of the measurement. Oil is the primary use for these measurements in the Mikdash, but when you're making them, you don't have to use oil as the... It probably would not be a good idea to use oil. Oil, because of its viscosity, sticks in the clay. You wouldn't want to use it.
You wouldn't have. It would be the opposite. If you had to pour it, you wouldn't get to the measurement and a bone won't be...
Because of... Right. Because it would stick to the walls. But if you use water, you don't have that problem. You have less of an issue because of water. So now, the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Rishimon Omer, Lo Yasham Hin. He says, Shepherd Kamar Lul Rishimon the Rabbanon. Rishimon has a good point, the Rabbanon. What did they use the Hin for? Rabbanon, Havi Hin, Deavid Moshe, the Shem Namishcha. No, that they did have the Hin there. It wasn't something that was in use. It wasn't in something that had utility now. But it was made by Moshe. And so they had it. So they had the Shem Namishcha, Tiktiv Shem Zaydin. That's the Shem Zaydin is used. Mar Savar, Kevin the Dorot, Lo Avat Sarich, the Fishahu, the Abde. Vignas, according to Rabbi Shimon, they made it for the time of Moshe, and then they put it into Geniza. It wasn't necessary after that point in time. Vidach came into Abba Abba. Since it was there already, they kept it. They kept it around. Not that it was necessary, but they had it. It was in the, you know, the museum piece that they had on the side. You know, this is the hint from Moshe. Samamar Vedmi Avitach Tav. So why did Rabbi Shimon have to replace it? Rabbi Shimon feels compelled to replace the hint. Osagi Delo Mayo. Okay, so you don't have a hint. That's it. They'll 6 meat out. Kedamar Ravina Gimire. We have a Aloch Lamosh Mesinai. Shtei smichot b'tzibur. So just like we have a halacha l'moshe b'sinai that in the tzibur there are two karbonot that require smicha. Achnami gemiri the shev midot shalacha yu b'migdash. So too we have the same thing that there's halacha l'moshe b'sinai that there are 7 midot. So Rabbi Shimon removes the hin, he's got to replace it with something else because of this halacha l'moshe b'sinai. So he can't suffice with 6. He has to have 7. So when he took it out, he had to replace it with another midah. Rabbi Lozai, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, shnatot hin behin. There are these markings along the way. It's like a measuring cup within the in itself. Now, if you say there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai of 7 midot, his day is a lot less than 7 midot. Letle 7 midot. He doesn't have this mesora that they have to be 7 midot. So the first answer is Gemara is letle. And Ochanami, he doesn't have that mesora. That's what we saw in Rashi earlier on. Vei deima my 7 midot, 7 mididot. It's not that there's 7 measuring cups, but there are 7 measures, right? 7 units of measuring with measurements within the mikdash. You just have to have an ability to measure 7 types of measurements, but not that there are actually 7 utensils that create those measurements. Now, Tosus points over here, it sounds like from our Gemara that they had a single utensil. That was it. Although in the Tosefta, according to Rabbi Shimon, he had 4 midot, which make a lot more sense. The hin combined to make a single unit. Therefore, he took all the hins, which is hin, chatzia hin, revit hin, and shlishit hin. They were all in a single unit. But for the log, which is the log, the revit log, and chatzia log, there he had separate kelim for that. So that would equal up to 4 kelim in the mikdash, according to Rabbi Shimon. And that's what the Tosefta says. That the Tosefta says that it's four. From our Mishnah, Tosfos says, and from our Gemara, it sounds like he had one for everything. Because within a, even within a hin, you could have the log, chatzi log, vavi log. It's sort of hard because of just the size proportion. You're dealing with 12 log in a unit, and then you're going to mark off a chatzi log and a log and a vavi. The log goes a little harder to measure off over there. But nevertheless, that's what it sounds like from our Gemara. All right, now next Mishnah. Mishnah is going to now discuss what were the purpose of each of these measurements. Revit ma'ita mishameshet. What do they use the revit log for? Revit ma'im limitzora. They use it for the revit ma'im chayim that you needed for the mitzora. You have to take ma'im chayim. You have to take the bird, shecht it over the water, and then you have to be dam goes into the water part of there, and then it gets sprinkled. The dam that goes into the water, there's a mitzora that has to be ma'im shenikar ba'adam, water in which blood is recognizable. Because I'll have a mitzora that is revit ma'im. So that's how we know by mitzora it has to be revit ma'im. Revit shemen le'nazir. Revit shemen le'nazir comes out of the fact that we know by the todah there was a chatzi log shemen by the todah that was broken up. The chatzi log shemen was broken up into a quarter log for the revucha, and then a quarter log for the chalot and the rikikim. The blue log, the chalot, blue log, and the rikikim. The nazir only has those two items in it. So it only has those two items, those two matzot. The matzot, blue log, b'shemen, and rikikim matzot. Those two, he gets a quarter log. So that's how we know that it gets a quarter log from the todah that gets a chatzi log shemen. Chatzi log, maya mishamesh. What do they use the chatzi log for? Chatzi log mayim l'sota. Sota, when they, this week's parsha, when they use the chatzi log mayim to place in the written parsha to erase it in the mayim marim or mi'arim, those mayim were a chatzi log. How do we know that? Halacha l'moshe misinai. It's halacha moshe misinai. V'chatzi log shemen l'toda. We know that. We just said before, we learned this in the previous parak, that it gets a chatzi log shemen goes for the toda. Uvelog, and what about the log? So this is where we did with revi'at log, we did chatzi log, and we did, now what's the log? Log ayim adeid kol ha-minachot. That's for every mincha. Regular mincha comes with an isaron, and a log per isaron. Now, afilu mincha shel samach isaron, the reason the Mishnah uses samach isaron over here is because that's the largest mincha you can bring in a single kli. You bring a single kli of 60 isaron. Notein la, samach log. And they get that 60 isaron, you have to give 60 log. And that you measure log by log. That is not a separate, 60 log cup. You have to take one log at a time. You have to measure it in for every isaron that you put in. The hin would have helped you get a lot further because you'd have 12 log in the hin, right? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, you'll see why now. Afilu mincha shel samach isaron in la ela loga. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, no matter what the size of the mincha, as long as in a single kli, it gets one log. So log shemen per kli. Chachamim mean per log per isaron. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, no, a log per kli that's used. And the largest kli or largest mincha you can bring is 60 isaron. Shinemar, la mincha beloga shemen. That says, la mincha, you bring, for every mincha, you bring a log shemen. Not the isaron log shemen, but rather the mincha. For a whole mincha, you bring a log shemen. Now shisha, what did they use the chatzia hin for? That was for the nischei apar. Ve'arba'a, what is the four, meaning the shlishita hin used for, four log? That's the ayo, for the nisachim of the ayo. Shlosha, the revi'ita hin, which is the three log, that's used for the kevis. Shlosha umechsa, 3.5 is the menorah. You need 3.5 for the menorah. Well, we didn't have any measurement that was 3.5, but that is done through the chatzi log de choner. That's a chatzi log for each ner that's there. This week's parsha coming up, alutchat aneirot. When they fill up the menorah, they have to put enough oil in there that'll last overnight. And Chazal said that's a chatzi log. If I take 7 candles times the chatzi log, I get 3.5 log. So that's actually made up of 7 times the chatzi log to get to this 3.5 log. No, that's Chazal say that it has to be there enough to last all night. Since it has to be enough to last all night, they said the longest night of the year in Tevet, which is the winter solstice, those are the longest nights. Those nights require a chatzi log, and therefore they put a chatzi log all the time in there. There was excess, correct. Yeah, they could not keep, we're going to see that today's lav, that you can't keep the excess. Once it's burnt and you have to extinguish it, then it's no good anymore. You have to replace it. Yati Ravi, Kavkashale, Revit Lama Nimshecha. The Revit Alog, why was it a cliche rate? Why was it necessary for it to be a cliche rate? In Mitzora, if you're talking about a Mitzora, Chutzu. Now, Chutzu, Rashi says it's done by Shar Niknor. Now, Shar Niknor is the gateway, the entrance to the Azara. Now that's true of a mitzora when you're doing all the avodah, the mitzora in the mikdash. What we're talking about over here is the tarata mitzora. Tarata mitzora is done all the way outside. It's done in the fields, outside in the rest of the city. So I don't think that's a correct, view that it's done in Shar Niknor, but rather, as pointed out by, I think, Rashi and the Ktivian as well, that we're talking about all the way outside. It was outside. It wasn't in the mikdash at all. So you don't need a cliche rate for the revit log mayim of the mitzora, because it's not something that's done inside the Azara. V Nazir, and what else the revit was used for the shemen of the Nazir? Lechem, when you're talking about the Nazir, Lechem Nazir b'shechitat ayahud and Kaddish. It does not become Kadosh in the Klisha, right? It becomes Kadosh with the Shechita of the Shlamim that he brings alongside of the Lechem. So when he brings his ayo l'shlamim, that ayo is what's mekadesh the matzot. So why do you need the klisha to be kadosh? So Amalei Rabbi Chia, Talmid of Rabbi, says to him, Shebahaya mudei v'chavitei kohen gadol. They needed it for the chavitei kohen gadol. Revi'at shem in the chol chala v'chala. They need to measure out all the chalot. If you remember now, let's think about this. We have three log shemen by the chavitei kohen gadol with one yisaron. The chavitei kohen gadol come with 12 chalot. If I take three log shemen and divide it up amongst 12 chalot, how much does each chala get? Each chala gets a quarter log. So that's what they needed it for. They needed to use it for the quarter log to measure out each the shemen that was necessary for each chalav, the chavitei kohen gadol. Kari alei, meretz merchak ish atzati. From a faraway land came the great council of this man. Who is that? That's Rabbi Chiya, who came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe is found in Eretz Yisrael. Here is Talmid. Rabbi Chiya comes along and answers the question for him. So he says, meretz merchak, from a long, faraway distance, from Bavel, he came and he answered my query. Katzi log. Svi, I think this is your answer to the question why it's found in the Mishnah. Chatzilog maya mishamesh. What do they need the chatzilog for? So now again, same question. Yativ Rabbi veKakashle chatzilog lama nimshach. Why is the chatzilog in the Mikdash? Why did they anoint it? Why did they make it into a klisha rate? So now let's look through it. Isota. If you're talking about the sota, v'chi chulin. Who? The Tzricha Lek Dushe? That's one girsa in the Gemara. There's an alternative girsa in the Gemara, which is that it was done bechutzu. So this one, according to this girsa, where did the water come from to do the Meisota? It came from the Kior. And the Kior is already, the Mayim is already Nitkadesh. So why do I need a separate clear to be Mekadesh? It was already, that's the question. Is the water chulin that you have to make it Kadosh? So, because it's already Kadosh, so you don't need it. Oh, so Tosas, that's your question. Very good. Yeah, you're not allowed to move something from a Kli Sharet into a Kli Chol. Once it's in a Kli Sharet, Malim Kodesh Vein Moridin, you can't put it into a Kli Chol. So Tosas over here wants to differentiate and say that's only when it's going to Mizbeach. When it's going to Mizbeach, it has to stay in a Kli Sharet. When it's not being used necessarily for the Mizbeach, like here, where the Mayim is going to be drunk by the woman. So over there, he says you may not need that requirement. And you could put it into a Kli Chol. Now, the other Girsa is that Visota, Isota, the same question they had before by Nazir, Chutu, said outside. Visota is not in the Azara itself. And she's right outside the Azara. And therefore, maybe you don't need it to be Kadosh, because it's all going to be performed right outside the Azara. Now, the next one is, it says by them that you have to bring Mayim Kadoshim, which comes from the Kior. Itoda. We said that you also need the Chatzilog for the Shemen that's needed for the Toda. So, Lachmi Toda, V'shkita Toda Udekache. Just like we learned Nazir out of Toda. And by Nazir, we know that the Ayal HaShlamim is Mekadesh, also the Lechem. So over here, the Todah is the Shlamim that's brought alongside, is what's Mekadesh the Lechem. So why do you need it to be in a Klisharit, the Chatzilog Shemen? So Amalei Rabbi Shimon Berebi. Now his son answers the question, which is also interesting. We've seen before many times Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shimon Berebi, we had Machlokot between them in the previous parak. Here you have Rabbi Shimon answering his father. Shabo Aya Mechalei Chatzilog Shemen the Chol Ner V'Ner. Says you need the Chatzilog for the Shemen Amenorah that has to be done in a Klisharit. So that's your answer why it's included in the Mishnah. But as an afterthought, he said, oh, what's the chatzilog needed for? Why do you need a kli sharet? That was the menorah. That was answered by his son later on. So I don't know if it's an addendum to the Mishnah or Rebbe added it in later on, but that's the answer to the question in the Mishnah. Why do I need a chatzilog over there? So he says to his son, Ner Yisrael kachaya, says, you're right, Ner Yisrael, the light of Israel, meaning that he's calling his son a light, a candle, some positive statement. He's complimenting him on the answer that he gave. Yeah, so that's right, very good. So Tosas Rabbeinu Chaim, and the Tosas says exactly that. Meshum da'ari b'midei da'ora, since they were talking about candles, he gave him the compliment in the candles. There's another place that he uses the same compliment, and they were talking about the moon over there. So the same idea, that talking about something that gives light, so he gives him a compliment with Neri Swel Kachayim. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm a Rabbi, which is interesting here. Now Rabbi Yochanan is saying something over the name of Rabbi. That's atypical. You know, we tend not to find that. I don't think we see Rabbi Yochanan quoting Rabbi in many instances, because you're talking about a generational gap there, because you have Rav is a Talmid of Rabbi. He's a first generation Amora, Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish already, I think, are second generation Amoraim. I don't remember so many times that Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi. I think Rav quotes Rabbi many times. I don't ever see Rabbi Yochanan. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm a Rabbi. Ner Shekavta. So this is your question. A nair that extinguishes nidashina shemen nidashna ptila.
You take out everything.
The shaman comes out as well as the ptiva. Ketzer osa. What do? Metiva v'notein b'shemen u'madlika. You have to clear it out totally, replace the oil, and then light it again. Now this situation is where to extinguish in the middle of the night. Extinguish in the middle of the night. When extinguished in the middle of the night, obviously the ptila can't be used again because it's singed. It's ashes now. So that's not useful. So here the Gemara is adding on that not only can you not use the ptila again, the shemen that's left in there has to be emptied out and replaced. So yatzi Rabbi Zikra becoming violet because you're notein b'shemen. When you replace the shemen in the middle of the night, kemida rishona, do you put in a new full chatzilog in there? Oh, kemoshe chisra. Are the amount that's remaining? So which one is it? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Pshita. The kemida rishona. It has to be that it's the original chatzilog. Deed kemoshe chisra miyadinen my chiser. How are you going to know how much is left in there? You poured in a chatzilog, and now you have to figure out what's left.
You look at it.
V'chitema demisharele. So now what are you going to say? He measured it? He estimated it? Imkein sheva midot, nafishlo midot, tuva. You need other measuring cups in the mikdash to be able to figure out what that measure was. To get the exact amount in there, you have to get more. You're right, you could have just overestimated and put in more, but the Gemara seems to think that you need fixed amounts that you place in there, and since you don't have additional measures, he says you have to go. Chatzilog is the standard amount you put in, no matter what, that's always what you replace with the chatzilog. Koriale. So then he said about him,
V'hadarcha tzlach rechav al dvar emet v'an vo tzedek. Hadarcha in your majesty, tzlach rechav, you should successfully ride or ride prosperously al dvar emet for the cause of truth v'an vo tzedek and the sake of righteousness. So he was complimenting with the fact that because of his behavior and his midot and his learning of Torah, he was able to reach the emet, the truth, and come around to have the halacha be said over in his name correctly. As to the answer, or the reason Nora, when they relit the menorah, did they use a chatzilog or not?
The term is used, as Rashi points out, to describe Talmidei Chachamim learning Torah, that they will be derech hatzlacha. So also he's giving him this compliment that he reached the emet from his limud Torah. Between them, they were able to reach the true answer. So in Marnami, so we have a similar statement here. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'Amar La, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi, Ner Shekavta, a ner in the Mikdash that was extinguished, Nidashin, a shemen, take out the shemen, Nidashna, Ptila, you remove the ptila. Ketzer osa. What does he do? Metiva. He fixes it up, meaning that he clears it all out. V'notein b'shemen kemida rishona. So here we have explicit. You put back the original chatzilog into it. U'madlika, and then you light it.
Since here the metargim, dash and the shemen, the continuation of the problem. Either ner shekavta goes out, then pour the oil back, ashy.
Right. The underlying assumption here is that aner shekavta, what was the problem? There are one or two problems when aner shekavta. Either ptila was nidashna, or the shemen was nidashen. The conclusion here is that once one of them goes down, we assume both of them are bad, and we take everything out. So, I guess you could read it that as being the problem, aner shekavta, one of two problems here, which is either nidashen a shemen or nidashna ptila, one of those two problems. But the conclusion is they have to remove everything. They have to take everything out. Now we have a new statement, a new issue, which is very interesting. I'm a Rav Sheshit. Ner should be Mikdash. The Ner, the word Ner, not like today, but we see Ner when you think about a candle or a wick. Ner, in the time of the Gemara, in the time of the Tanakh, was the actual receptacle that held the oil and the ptila in it. The Ner was the actual holding cup that was on top. So on top of the menorah, you call the Nerot. So over here it says, Yivashit, the Ner should be Mikdash, those receptacles on top of the menorah, shall prakim hava. They were made out of pieces. Kasabar. He thinks, Kikitiv, Kikar, Umiksha. Where it talks about the menorah that has to be made out of a Kikar Zahav, and Miksha, be solid, a single unit. A menorah, Vin Neirot Akhtiv. Some has menorah and the Neirot. Well, that seems to make no sense according to his reasoning. He just said that the Neirot are Prakim. If I ask me what Neirot Prakim means, pieces, means that they were removable. Right, that you're able to take these receptacles out of the menorah. That's what you have thought. Now, when he comes and gives his limud, he's saying that the menorah and the nerot were made out of a single kikar zahav, that they were a single unit. So what does that mean? Rashi explains over here, he brings two deyot, but the basic idea is the same, which is that the nerot on top were sitting on top of a very thin piece of gold. That thin piece of gold was flexible and allowed you to move the nerot on top. It allowed you to tip them forward and then straighten them back up. And that's what he means, pirakim. Pirakim means that the ability to move it. It wasn't solid to the sense that it was immovable, but it was flexible. They had a flexible top. And therefore, you could bend the neirot and put them back up. And that's how they were mendashing the menorah. They used to clear out the oil by tipping it over and pour it out. And then they uprighted it to place the new oil in it. And that's what it means. It was made out of a single unit, but it was pirakim. They were able to move it. It was movable. It had a joint, but not a joint, like a with a screw and a joint in it, because it has to be a single unit. It has to be a piece. So it has to be a thin, flexible metal that's over there. Yeah, it would snap eventually. It's very interesting. But that's what they suggest over here. The other suggestion in Rashi was that there was actually a cover on it. Tas, there was a small cover that went on top. But later on, when the Gemara explains the tas, Rashi explains the same thing, that this tas was, had some flexibility to it and allowed the Nair to push forward and then be uprighted through this tas, which is interesting. I'm not exactly sure. I couldn't picture in my mind what he was meaning, but I don't know if it had a front edge to it, meaning that the actual Nairot were tipped, and then when it sat on it, it covered it and prevented it from flowing out, and then when you opened it up, it allowed it to flow out. Not exactly sure. Rashi, it's not a clear description here in Rashi about what that was. The Gemara is also going to use that description in a second. It was flexible. Because when he needs the atava, he needs to fix up the neirot. If he doesn't have to be flexible, it's very hard for him to empty it of the oil that's inside. He can't pour out the oil. It's very hard to get it out. So we have a question. He takes the neirot off entirely. Places them in the oil, umikan chan, and then he clears them out, rinses them out, bisvog, uses a sponge, noten by shemen, and then he refills them, umadikan, and then he lights them. So from that, brayta, it's pretty clear that how did they do it? They actually removed the neirot, they came off. They were not flexible, they were removable. So now he says, udamar ki hai tano. Sheshit, who says it was flexible, holds like this tano, tetanya. Chamim armim, lo ayum mizizim otam mim koma. They didn't move it from its place. Mechlau, from that you would have inferred, by the Zuza Matimazizla. You could have moved it. So the Gemara says, no, Ela Ema, Lo Aita Zaza Mimkoma. It didn't move from its place, meaning it was a fix, and you can't take the Neirot out. That's one Braita. Uman Chachamim, and who's this author, the Chachamim? It is Rabbi Elazar, be Rabbi Tzadok. I don't know if that's the right gears over here, because in our Mishnah, when we went back, if you look in the Braita that were brought before in the Mishnah, also it said Rabbi Eliezer, be Rabbi Tzadok, Bar Tzadok. So I don't know if he, over here the gears should also be Rabbi Eliezer, Bar Rabbi Tzadok, or this is actually a different person, and it's Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok. I'm not sure. I'm not certain about that. Anyway, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, Kimin Tas Shazav Hayalo. There was this flat cover. That's what I was describing before in Rashi. This cover that went on top. Al Gaba, that was on top of the Nair. Kushu Metiva, when he is Metiva, Dochako Kalfe Pia, pushes it towards the mouth. Shenetain Ba Shemen, Dochako Kalfe Rosha. And when he fills it with Shemen, he pushes it back to the backside. Now, what Rashi describes over here again is that when he pushed it forward, he caused the Nair to tip and the oil to pour out. When he pushed it back, it straightened the Nair out. So I'm not exactly sure. That still means that there was some sort of flexible part. Not sure what the cover did in that. Point, he does point out that the cover had a hole in it to stick the wick into. So that's the value of the cover. The value of the cover could be that it was able to hold the wick in place. And this is the same machloka that we have elsewhere. It's actually brought down in Chumash by the Ramban al Chumash. The Tanya Minorav Nerotah Baot Minakikar Vein Malkecheo Machtotecha Minakikar. The Ramban brings us on Chumash when he discusses, he argues on Rashi about exactly what the Kikar Zahav was used for. So here we have one Tana that says, Minora v'Nerota ba mina Kikar. The Minora and the Nerot, I mean the receptacles for the Nerot on top were made out of that single Kikar. The tongs and the Machtoteh, the shovels to be Medashin, the things that were used to work the Minora, those were not made out of that Kikar. Rabbi Nechem Yomer, Minora ita ba mina Kikar. V'lo Nerota u'malkache u'machtoteh ba mina Kikar. Nothing besides the core menorah was from that kikar, not even the neirot, the receptacles on top from that same kikar. So here, Maika Miflige, what are they arguing about? Maika, the Maika at this pasuk, Titania, kikar zahav tor, yaseh uta. It says that you make it out of a single kikar zahav tor. L'man lo menorah, sheba mina kikar, that we know. Minayin, the rabot neirotel tamadomar, it's kol ha-keili ma'ela. In the pasuk it says, not only kikar zahav tor that you make the menorah, but also kol ha-keili ma'ela. Yochel sheni mirab be'af makachel ma'achtoteh, tamadomar, uta. Uta is a miut. Uta, not acher. Divi Rabbi Chemia. So now what does he say? Rabbi Nechemia explains here that what's the limud? The limud is that we have a riboy of kelim, we have a miut of otah. So what am I going to include? I'm going to include things that are part of the menorah, part and parcel of the menorah to be part of the kikar. The utensils that are outside the menorah, they won't be included in the kikar. Now Gemara says, Kasha, the Rabbi Nechemia and the Rabbi Nechemia. Wait a minute. Rabbi Nechemia is explaining the position that he doesn't hold of. Rabbi Nechemia said in that braita that only the menorah was made out of the kikar zahav. It was the other daya, the Tanakama, who said that this was the case. Now Rabbi Nechemia is explaining the Tanakama's position. So what's the problem? Rabbi Nechemia says, trade tonight, I'll leave it to Rabbi Nechemia, in Ochanami. Rabbi Nechemia, it's two Tanaim saying what the position of Rabbi Nechemia is. We're not sure which way it went. Shuvin kach omner nara ba'amina kikar. Vein malkechel machtotah menerotah ba'amina kikar. So that's Rabbi Shuvin Levi's read, same as Rabbi Nechemia. In the brayta that we brought before, the first brayta that we brought, that it's only menorah, the core menorah, that is made out of the kikar zahav. Ela amayni became it kolei kimel eile. Then what does he do with the reboy? If it's kolei kimel eile. Shehu kelim shel zahav. They have to be, those kelim have to be made out of gold. Mar says zahav, hejik tipo. Vasita nerotah shiva, veleet nerotah, v'yirel ever panel malkechel machtotah zahav tor. They're all made out of zahav. Only to have the pi neirot. You only need it for the spouts of the neirot. Sachadat Ramina, I would have thought whole pi neirot ashkore mishkar. I would have thought that the pi, the place where the wicks sit at the edge of the neirot. If you look back at the old receptacles that they used to light candles, they had a place where the wick came out. It was a spout in which the wick stood, and that was lit. When you light it over there, it burns down to that area. When it burns down to that area, it's going to blacken the gold over there. We have a general principle that the Torah chasal mamonam shel Yisrael. The Torah doesn't make us expend money when they know it's going to get ruined. So you should make it out of any gold, not zahav tohor. Mashvalan, that it still requires zahav tohor. That's one girsa in the Gemara. Tosfos brings an alternative girsa in the Gemara that maybe you should make the spouts out of another material. And then the Kamash Malan is that to make it out of Zahav. You have to make it out of gold and not Zahav Tohor. But either way, the limit of Kol HaKelim Eile comes to teach you that the entirety of those Kelim has to be made out of Zahav. Even a part you would think should not be made out of Zahav, the spout, which is going to get blackened by the fire. You would think you make it out of other materials that would not, or just plain Zahav that's not so expensive so that it can be replaced easily or wouldn't cost so much money. How can I know Kamash Malan that it's made out of Zahav Tohor or out of Zahav? Because the requirement of Kol HaKelim Eile, everything of these Kelim must be made out of Zahav. Okay, we'll stop over here. Here.